Blog Talk Radio.
My name is Oliver Queen. For 5 years, I was stranded on an island with only one goal. Survive.
Oliver Queen is alive.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish to use the list of names he left me and bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become something else.
And hello, welcome, party people. This is your host, Jesus Heredia, and welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast, where tonight it is a big one. It is the finale of Arrow that aired today on Wednesday, May 15th, 2013. Wow! Seriously, it could have been 2 hours. Come on, CW. Don't shorten us out. We were teased with a two-hour finale of Smallville. Why not another 2 hours of Arrow? But oh my gosh, action-packed, seriously, great way to end the series. Still a lot of questions. I'm sure a lot of people on the phones also want to know. Let's see what our speculation is, and wow. Okay, that's all I have to say. All right, let's go to the phones right away from area code 239. Welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast.
You have failed this podcast. Hey, Jesus, it's Matt.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Oh, my God. I mean, I waited for it all day long. I was like, it gave me chills.
Yeah.
I mean, Malcolm was just a sociopath in the episode. And Tommy dying. Oh, my God. When I saw Laurel.
Now, did you see that coming?
Yeah. When I saw Laurel about to die, I almost thought, oh, my God, she's going to become Black Canary in season 2. Yeah.
You mean she's
going to,
like, rise from the dead?
Crazy. Yeah, so, sort of like that. But now there's going to be a new threat in Starling City in season 2.
Yeah,
I watched season two, a fresh start
for the Glades, too.
Yeah, it was just great. My mom and I loved it.
That's great. Thank you, Matt, for calling also on this Arrow finale. We made it. We made it to the finale.
It needed to be for 2 hours, I swear. It needed to be.
I agree. Let's see. From area code 951, who is this?
This is Regina.
Hi, Regina. How are you?
Fine.
And your first thoughts
from this finale? Oh my God!
I know. You just finished seeing it, right?
Yes.
Me too.
I called in 5 minutes early, so I would get in.
I thought it was.
Don't worry, we got you in. So, what do you think, Regina?
I agree totally. It should have been 2 hours.
Yes.
I mean,
were you any surprises
awesome.
For you?
A few, yeah.
All right, we'll definitely explore that.
Yeah, I did not expect Tommy to die.
Oh, I don't think anyone saw that coming.
No, I've had.
But Matt
so
says
many
he
other
did.
People.
He saw that coming.
It reminded me of Spider-Man 3, where Harry Osborn died, and he made peace with Spider-Man, and Tommy made peace with the Green Arrow.
Oh, there you go. All right, from area code 432, welcome to the Arrow Talk podcast.
Hey, it's Joe from Krypton.
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
It's going great, man. It was an awesome finale.
Very, very cool, right? Especially for TV? Come on. How many times can we see people get stabbed with the arrows?
That could have been a mini movie. But, you know, I was a little upset that they left us on such a cliffhanger, but, you know, of course they're not going to do a two-hour finale because those are only series finales.
Yeah, the end of the show. It's like, they're not coming back show.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of people were tweeting, they were asking me, they're like, so is this going to be part one and part two? I'm like, part one and part two of the podcast, but not,
oh, yeah.
not of the show. If you're listening to the podcast, we are doing it right after it aired today on Wednesday, and we will continue this conversation tomorrow. So I'm sure if we can exhaust all of our speculations and questions, I'm sure the next day we'll still have questions that weren't answered tonight. So if you can't call in tonight, please call in tomorrow. We are on our regular time slot, 8 p.m. So, Joe, your first thoughts.
Oh, man. You know me. As usual, I don't have anything negative to say about these epic episodes. You know, I'm gonna be honest with you. As soon as I find something to nitpick about, I will. But, man, these episodes are just so great. I mean, I really can't find any flaws in them, in my opinion. I don't.
No, I think we all agree with you, Joe. Let's see. From
yeah.
AirCode 847, welcome to the Aero Talk podcast.
I'm back. Dan from Chicago.
Whoa, from the dead. How are you, sir?
I'm hanging in there. I'm on vacation, so I'm all good right now.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in on your vacation, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Welcome. I've been kind of, like, taken back with the show, trying to get used to the characters. That's kind of
mm-hmm.
another reason why I haven't called in, you know, just trying to get into the show. But I love
yes.
it. I just love it.
What did you think of the finale?
Really good. It could have been maybe, like, an hour and a half. I don't know, about 2 hours. Maybe get, like, get an extra half an hour in there, maybe, because I think they bunched everything up way too quickly. You know, and I would have liked maybe to them to finish off the, you know, him flashing back kind of type thing.
Yeah, I don't think we're done yet.
We're going to get more of that next season.
You know what I was just thinking about that? I'm glad you brought that up, Dan. I'm glad you brought that up. I was thinking, what if we're on the island for the next 5 years?
Yeah.
Get it?
Oh,
get it? The
God,
audience is. So we might see flashbacks for another 4 more years after this one.
Yeah.
Man.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like, what if they make the audience stay on the island for 5 years?
But no, I'm starting to get, you know, I'm starting to get used to all the characters and everything. So, I liked it. I liked the finale. It was really good. I was really shocked that Tommy died. I didn't see that coming
yeah.
at all. I thought it was going to be the dad dying, but.
Well, and it's funny. With TV, you never know. They might be able to resuscitate Tommy, and Merlin might be missing from the rooftop. You just never know. I mean, there's a lot of.
Is it me, or does anybody think that Malcolm looks like Tom Cruise? I don't know. It's just me.
Yeah, he kind of
like
does.
An old Tom Cruise.
an old Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
I did not see that. I did not see that. you guys must have some really good HD quality TV sets.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got 46.
All right, so now we're definitely not going to rush this podcast because we have plenty of time on this tonight's podcast. So please don't feel rushed. Flesh out everything that you want to express, because I'm sure a lot of people out there want to listen to it. And if you're listening online right now, please call in at 914-338-1036. Again, that number is 914-338-1036. A lot of people say, well, it's a long distance, but if you have a cell phone, free night and weekends, come on, guys.
Yep.
Okay. All right, let's start with you, Matt, from Florida. What was your favorite scene in tonight's finale, Sacrifice?
Oh, I don't know. I have quite a few. I mean, oh, my God. It was just such a great episode. I would have to say the fight scene with Diggle, Oliver, and I didn't see it coming when Malcolm shot an arrow into Diggle's chest and the flashback on the island.
Right.
Oh, my God. The fight scene with Oliver and Dark Archer. I love that.
Yeah,
fight.
You know, I was thinking about that, Dan, when Diggle and Arrow go into the chamber, you know, that hidden passageway in his office.
Yep.
And Merlin was right there standing. How creepy was it that he was just standing there waiting for them?
I know.
Oh, my.
Like he knew he was coming. Oh,
I'm like, this guy really is a badass. I'm sorry. He's just waiting. He's like, I'm going to let my son lay out there while I'm just standing here chilling in my suit. And then Diggle gets stabbed with that blade. Wouldn't he wear by now some sort of body armor or protective vest?
He was
saying, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You know you're hearing, like,
going
to hellfire. Right?
Right, but it was great.
I think Diggle might need his own little costume, if you know what I mean. Hint, hint, hint.
Florida. I'm on the East Coast, so I make sure and call in at 15 minutes early.
Okay. Dan from Chicago, give us your favorite scene of this night's episode.
I liked it when Tommy did die. I liked that whole scene with Oliver and him. I kind of got goosebumps when Oliver was crying and everything. I thought that was pretty cool. Him saying goodbye like that. I thought that was a nice goodbye, even though it was sad. And
yeah.
I liked the other scene I liked too, when Tommy actually saved Laurel. I thought that was pretty cool too.
It was kind of cool to see that redemption where he was like,
yeah,
you know what? My dad is evil. I'm going to not go down the path. And we kind of all thought maybe he would pick a mantle. If his dad died, he would become the new Dark Archer. But that wasn't the case. He took a different route, which was really good. Let's go around the room. Let's ask people, did Tommy make a good decision? Should have just stayed at the office and put on dad's old costume? Let's go to you, Matt, from Florida.
Nope. I think he made the right choice to forgive Oliver. Before he even knew him, he was the vigilante. They were best buds. Even before Oliver was sent to the island, they were like best friends. So you can have true best friends turn against each other who are that close.
Right.
And
right.
That
okay, what about
social.
Okay, what about you, Joe from Krypton? Do you think Tommy made the right decision?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. He did. He did. Of course he did. I guess we're not going to really know if he's dead or not until season two, but
right.
He could still come back and, flip it and still become evil. It could still happen. You never know.
That's true. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But, we could assume he's dead as well as his dad, but even though now, especially now that the business is ruined because of Myra Queen, and also because everyone now knows the Merlin family behind the leveling of the Glades. So who knows? Maybe that's closing that chapter of the Merlins.
I was so waiting for Oliver to tell his mom, you know what? I'm the vigilante, and I need
to. Yeah, I know.
Really?
I was waiting for that too.
No,
I thought he was going to do it right there.
I thought he was.
Really?
No, there's no way. No, he will.
But
do
how it. How cool was it that Myra Queen says, "I have failed this city at the rest
of
the
conference."
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I love that.
Yes,
I love
you
that
did.
Part.
Yes,
Jeez,
that was really
so
good. Good play on words there. Dan from Chicago, your thoughts. Did Tommy make the right decision, or should he just stick to being a badass Merlin?
I kind of liked it. I kind of liked this decision because, you got to have forgiveness. You know what I mean? So
right.
He redeemed himself by telling Laurel that he loved her, and he saved Laurel, too. So I thought, that was good. I was really shocked because I thought he was going to turn evil, too. If something happened.
I know, we all did.
Malcolm.
Yeah.
So, but, it was definitely good. But I have a question for you guys. What happened, because last week on the island, we saw a lady sitting in a chair. We didn't see who the lady was. We just saw somebody sitting there, and we saw the long legs of a woman.
Was that
Oliver's mom?
Well, I think I all assumed last week, if you would have joined us, Dan, we all assumed that it was my queen.
Okay. How come they never said anything, though, about it?
Well, maybe that's the big puppet master,
okay.
Okay. I'm sure later on we'll find out, but it looks like Myra might be a little tied up, if you know what I mean, for next season.
Yeah.
At least she'll be safe. Let's see, Regina, let's go to you. Did Tommy make the right decision? Did he... do right by helping out, Laurel, or should he would have just stuck to being the Dark Archer's backup?
I liked his decision. I mean, I kind of would like to see him as a Dark Archer taking over in a way, but I like Tommy, so I'm glad he turned around.
Yeah, but he was a dick, though, back in the few
episodes.
Oh,
I know. I know.
Yeah, that was his part, though.
Yeah.
I know. But, you know, I kind of felt sorry for him when he found out how bad his dad really is, because I think he had no idea.
Yeah, you notice he didn't react like, oh, that's cool. He was like, what?
Yeah, so...
Yeah.
But you
like
never
shocked.
Know what's going to happen in season two, like you said. You know,
I know. That's
back,
the hard part. That's the hard part. Now we have to wait all summer till it airs back in the fall.
I just thought of something. Well, I mean, they're not connected, but they might be similar in a way.
Yeah. Have you guys ever watched the Star Wars movies?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the movies, yes.
Well, okay. You know,
I'm sorry for laughing.
No, dude, it's totally cool. You know
you
how...
You know, Joe, here on Earth, I'm known the Star Wars movie.
I'm sorry, can you repeat? I didn't hear what you said.
I said, you know, on Earth, it's usually a well-known movie, you know?
Yeah.
Star Wars.
And we're getting a new Star Wars in 2015.
This is Arrow.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually the lost son of Krypton, and my ship landed in Texas, so I live in a small town in Texas. I've been here for a while.
Now you tell us, Joe. All right, so what's your question, Joe? Star Wars. You started off with, does anyone know Star Wars? Okay.
With episode 3, where Anakin Skywalker finds out that, what's his name? The Sith Lord, what's his name again in the movie? Palpatine?
Lord Palpatine, yes.
Yes, that he's actually... That he's actually a Sith Lord. And, you know, Anakin Skywalker wants to, he still wants to be a Jedi, and he's against it. But somehow the Sith Lord, turns him to the dark side. It's kind of like the same thing with Tommy. If he's not dead, even though he made the right choice in the second season, he could still become, the Dark Archer in that way, you know?
I could see
thinking,
that. Yeah.
Thinking maybe my father was right the whole time, and, you know, maybe I should avenge his death if he died or whatever the heck. Whatever's going to happen with Malcolm.
Interesting.
Yeah. If I was Arrow and I'm like, okay, I just need... dude, I'm sorry. I just need to know if you're really dead, so let me snap your neck right now so we can definitely make sure. But, yeah, that didn't happen, so...
Okay, I actually got a question for the group, too, and you. Why is it... Okay, now, I know I'm bad. I missed a lot of episodes. Why is it they're calling him the Hood and not Arrow?
He just hasn't gotten the name yet.
Dan, yeah, he... Plus, he wears a hood, so...
Well, I know, but it's... Why not have...
He didn't like Rod Hood. Do you guys remember that thing?
Yeah.
So they just stuck with the Hood, I guess.
What's her name? Sia actually said Green Arrow in the last episode, in the second to the finale. She didn't actually say
that. Yeah, and then also
Green Arrow,
Merlin hinted at it, too, if you guys remember the dinner table.
Yeah.
Why not Green Arrow? And then Oliver
says,
that sounds cheesy. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's plenty of hints. And
okay.
I did, if anyone also noticed the little Easter egg that Joe from Krypton pointed out last time was the Ferris airliner that they were going to shoot down. It's in big letters on the side of the plane. It says Ferris Airlines.
That.
So that's a little, you know, wink eye to Green Lantern.
Little nod.
Little noggin, little Easter egg.
I thought it was weird how just when Oliver did all that with the missile, how it instantly went to the group's, you know, area and blew it up. I just thought that whole thing was weird.
Oh, okay. Well, it could have been, you know, gravity that just brought back down.
I know, but it was just weird how randomly it just landed right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, it's a TV show, Dan.
I know.
I'm sorry.
This isn't a Mythbusters.
Okay, I got a question too now for the room.
Wait. Did I ask everybody their favorite scenes? Who else was left? I know we didn't go through everybody.
No, not yet.
I think it's me.
Oh,
you got all of us.
I did?
No.
Yeah.
Regina, did I get you?
No.
Okay, well, let's go. See, that's why I knew we missed someone. All right, Regina, give us your favorite scene. Why?
Well, I kind of liked when Tommy found out that his dad is a Dark Archer.
Yeah, he needed that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't know. He seriously did not know. So I kind of liked that scene between the two of them. So.
Right. Okay, thank you, Regina. Now let me give you mine before you guys start with something else. Actually, mine was at the very beginning when Felicity is is being tamed by Detective Lance, and right before she leaves the police station, she turns around. She tells Detective Lance that you know he's really doing something for the people, and he really cares. And I like that because it was that turning where Lance was like, "Wow, I'm getting this from some stranger, and now you know things are coming there where Arrow keeps calling me." Even though he doesn't call him Arrow, but has Oliver been mentioned as Arrow at all on the show? I don't think he has.
No.
They always say like one Arrow, but never actually described him as the Arrow has come by again. No, they don't think they've ever said that. Yeah. Okay, so that was my favorite scene. Yeah, and then also, of course, I'm not excluding the fights and the explosions and the island and all that.
The normal
stuff. But that one definitely stood out. Yeah, the normal guy stuff and girl stuff. let's see, Laurel. Okay, what's going to happen with Laurel? What's up? Now Tommy's out. Now that she's in the rubble.
You know what? I actually have a little nitpick about Laurel.
All right, go ahead, Joe.
It seems like every time either Tommy or Oliver tell her that they care for her or show some kind of emotion towards her, she like jumps ship to the next guy, you know, like, oh, now I love Tommy.
Yeah, she's ready to run.
I'm like, dude, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, you just had sex with Oliver.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really upsets me. I'm like, just stick with one guy. One guy.
Right,
you know,
right.
Tommy, stick with one dude.
Easy there, Dan.
No.
We have a lady in the room. All right, so no, we're going to open the floor. I know you guys still have tons of questions. Now is the time if you guys could think of a question for the room, something that didn't fit well, something that's out. Now is the time to bring it out so we could just dissect it and discuss about it. So let's go to Dan Chicago. You're up first, sir. Do you have any questions or any comments for the room?
Not yet. I'm good.
Okay. That's no problem. All right, Joe from Krypton.
What was the question again? I didn't catch that. Just
open forum.
Oh. Have you guys this is a little unrelated.
So then don't say that then. No, okay, let's go to Regina.
Okay. Was it just me
Sorry,
or did
Joe.
Was it just me or was the music a little over the top tonight? I mean, they seem to make it sound so dramatic, and it really wasn't.
I agree. Anyone else? Matt from Florida, do you agree or disagree?
Disagree. I loved the score tonight.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm with Matt. I didn't see it as too over the top, because it's always been like, dun, 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 dun. Even when they're like, oh my gosh, I forgot my Bluetooth. Dun, 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 dun. let's see, Joe from Krypton, do you think the music was a little over the top, or was it just as standard as any other episode?
No, it was cool. I thought it was perfect. It fit the tone just well, in my opinion.
Right. And Dan from Chicago?
It was good.
It was good.
It's just me, I guess. It just seemed like...
No, Regina, no. It's good. It's good that you have that opinion, because I'm sure a lot of other people share that same opinion. So it's good to have differences. So that's good. Anything else, Regina?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay. All right. Matt from Florida, the floor is yours, sir. We're all ears.
Well, the episode was Bazinga and epic. I loved the whole episode, but what's going to happen with Thea? What's going to happen with Roy? What's going to happen to Felicity? Did the Arrow Cave go down when that second bomb blew up? Did Felicity die? I mean, at the end there, she was doing great acting. I don't want Felicity to die. I love her.
Right. She won't die. Can anyone answer Matt's questions?
She won't die.
No.
No.
She won't die. She just got signed for another season, so I don't think she'll die. Unless they write her off on the first episode and they have to pay her off the whole season. That's a nice paycheck. All right, so we went through everybody. Everybody had their anything else, Matt, before we move forward?
Well, I just have to say at that scene in the Glades, Roy, when he saved those people and kicked all their butts, I meant, dang, Roy was really kicking ass. I can't wait to see
I love how Roy stepping up, but still no. Yeah, I'm so glad Roy is stepping it up, but it's too bad to see him find his resolution on finding the vigilante, or at least meeting him or talking to him.
Yeah,
but
I can't
still
wait for that.
No resolve on that. I know. It better be big. It better be big.
Anybody like not care about that guy, though?
What guy?
Roy.
What?
I don't.
Let's ask everybody. Let's go to Florida. Do you care about Roy Harper?
Yeah. I think he's cool. He's like one of those bad boy type guys. He's turning into
all right, Regina?
Guy.
Oh, yeah, I care.
Roy Harper? Oh, yeah. You didn't ask her. Joe from Krypton.
Oh, man. Roy Harper is such a big part of the Green Arrow history, yeah, he's very important, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, well, but Dan, right. I'm sure there's a lot of people that think like you. They're like, what's the deal with this guy? Why are they even
focusing
so much on him?
Well, no, I'll look into it more. Like I said, I'm just diving into the series, so I don't know too much about him, so.
Yeah.
Okay, where did you leave off on the series?
No, I never knew anything really about this guy until Smallville, the Green Arrow, honestly. So that's why I'm...
Oh.
You know, I don't know too much about him. So, Roy, I don't know anything about that guy. So
I got a question for everybody.
All right, Regina.
There was a Smallville actor on tonight, on Arrow.
Oh, the black guy.
The lieutenant.
Who? Yeah,
the lieutenant.
Black...
He used to be one of Zod's people.
He was in season 5 and season 9.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was General Zod's...
Adrian Holmes, that's who it was.
Does that mean that Zod is in Sterling City?
Oh, shit.
That might be crazy. That might be crazy.
Oh, and I have something to say to the room. And didn't you notice that Chinese guy, the one who was in with The Undertaking, he played Lao in The Dark Knight? Frank?
Yes. Yes. That was a couple episodes ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he wasn't in this one, was he?
No. He died.
No, yeah.
The Dark Lecture killed him.
Yeah, he wiped him out. All right, so that opening scene before the title card of Arrow, wasn't it cool how Merlin had Oliver chained up and he was telling them, like, you know, it's only at night. The clash of the two titans. And unfortunately, Oliver was chained up. But what an escape. I mean, seriously, that was a sweet escape where he pulls himself on the chains with his weight alone, drops, you know, lets go of the chain, and with his body weight, the pipe that's holding the chain pops off, gets off, and now he's using the chain as a weapon as he's, you know, cracking necks, whipping people in the head. I mean, and then that was not even the opener
yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Especially now, if you see them both together, it's like really slim guy and this buff, you know, new Arrow.
That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, I'm sure Justin would still wear his Oakleys when he's fighting. I'm kidding. All right,
anybody
so let's see.
Anybody feel dirty watching the finale?
Dirty? Why?
Because it wasn't small. It wasn't a Smallville finale. It was a new superhero finale. I felt dirty watching it. I'm not kidding.
Did anybody else feel dirty?
No, I loved the climax. It was
Alright, this is going really south. So, isn't it cool how Diggle had a transmitter in Oliver's boots? Who would have thought that this whole time Diggle was tracking Oliver? And, of course, Oliver's dad comes back onto the finale once again. He was on the first show, and now he's wrapping it up on the second show. Now, when the dad shot that other guy, was the other guy the bodyguard? I don't think we ever knew who that third person in the raft before he shot himself.
Huh.
Anybody know? Was that a bodyguard or just a member of the ship?
Oh, just some guy that was on the ship, yeah.
Because at first I thought it was just them two on the raft. Or has it always been three?
I have to go back and look at that episode. I haven't watched it since it first aired.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. How all of a sudden there's a third guy. I'm like, oh, wow, there's a third guy. And then all of a sudden he shoots him. Poor guy, right? He survives a boat crash or a boat, you know, bomb, and he's on a raft, and now he gets shot by a gun. I mean, what bad luck. Seriously, bad luck.
Yeah.
All right, so who's breathing a little hard on the phone? I know it's a little late. Anyone? No?
Okay. No.
Okay. So, on the island, when we still see Yao Fei on the floor, poor guy. At least he had his last cameo on the season finale.
As a dead person.
Even though he was dead, I'm sure the actor got paid to lay there, which is awesome.
Tonight, Jesus, you're being extra mean to these actors.
Why? What do you mean?
No, I mean it in a joking way. It just sounds funny.
Okay.
Like, at least he had his last cameo and he's dead.
Yeah. But it's funny when Oliver, he of course saves the day with the knife, with the blade that Yao Fei gave him, and he cuts himself loose and also cuts Shadow loose and also Mr. Slade. At that point, do you think Oliver still thinks that Slade is with the, you know, villains on that camp? Or do you think he really trusts him? Because if you remember later on, Oliver tells, you know, he asks Slade, where is Shadow? And he was like, oh, I don't know. I thought she was with you. Now, do you think that's still a setup? Because I'm like, I'm still keeping my arm's distance from Slade.
Well, Slade in the comic books is Deathstroke, so eventually there's going to be a twist where he's going to turn out he's going to be evil. So, yeah, I think it is a setup. It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. Let's go to Matt from Florida. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Do you trust him or not?
I don't trust him, because in the season premiere, we did see Deathstroke's mask as he escaped the island.
Very true.
Right, yes. Yes, that's true. And it was, like, shredded, remember?
Yeah.
It was, like,
a
mistake.
I think it's season two.
Yeah, with an arrow through the eye socket.
Yep.
But is that the same Deathstroke mask that was it Yao Fei that shot the other Deathstroke person? Death number one?
No,
how did that one die? Didn't it die with an arrow in its eye socket?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it did. I think the first one did.
He borrowed it and said, you know what, I'm going to be the next Deathstroke, so I'll just borrow this mask at the first one.
Yeah. Did. Yeah. And seriously, what type of mask would you wear where it's like fluorescent orange so you could stand out and be like,
know,
oh, look,
right?
There he is.
Easy target.
I wonder if it glows at night. That would be kind of cool, like half face. You know.
Fluorescent
half
mask.
Half face fluorescent. Yeah. All right, so then, of course, we're going back to the interrogation scene where Felicity is being interrogated by Detective Lance, how they found out that she was hacking Queen Industries. And her dialogue was kind of funny where she was like, where Detective Lance asked her, you know, so this hacking thing, you know, what is this? And she's like, oh, that's she tried to play it off like, oh, that's, you know, stuff, easy stuff, you know, I don't call it hard stuff. And then Detective Lance gets another call on his special bat phone from Arrow. Now, seriously, when Arrow disguises his voice, what if, like, one time he calls Detective Lambs and
he forgets to turn on the
simulator, and he's like, hey, and then can you imagine Detective Lambs, he's like, Oliver?
Oliver?
Like, oh, wait, hold on. Like, whoops.
You got the wrong number. I'm sorry.
I could just imagine that happening. I know if I had that, I would, like, ruin it on the first
hey,
try.
Hey, that's a rip-off of Smallville in that season 9 episode title.
Yeah, we already talked about that. Yep, definitely a borrow from the red blue blur, as they like to call them. Now, do you guys know where the name Verdant came from? As they named their club, Oliver and Tommy named their club. Do you know what closely resembles to that word, Verdant? Anyone, especially if you're a Latin speaker?
I have no clue.
No idea.
No? Okay. Well, in Spanish, green is verde.
Oh, yeah.
And there you go. Verdant.
Oh.
It's
I'm crippled
on green.
Spanish.
Right, right.
I'm German. I don't know.
Well, that's why I'm here to help you out. There you go. So now that's the little Easter egg there. All right. So Tom, of course, he thinks he's a badass, and he's, like, trying to tell Oliver that he did go down to Laurel's house to fight for her. Seriously, did he look like he was going to go fight for her?
No.
Do you recall from last week's episode?
Nope.
No.
When he saw them in the, you know,
Tommy.
Yeah. When Tommy saw them making out in the bedroom and everything, well, I won't say what they were really doing, but he ran home and cried like a little baby.
Now, who liked... Well, I don't think they should have much. Dan's already rewriting the script. I think they just stopped. I said I don't think they went down that far where they showed him crying like a baby.
Well, he showed him. That's the way it seemed like.
I know. He just did like a little pouty face. He was just like. All right. Now, how funny was it to see Tommy try to swing at Oliver, and Oliver's just like, really? And then, like, drops, kicks him, and knocks him down.
Mm-hmm.
That was epic.
Seriously, like, all right, you're messing with me now? Like, come on, kid. I would have been like, dude, don't even try it. I'm the vigilante, and you're some rich kid. And then, of course, that's definitely the end of their friendship, because Tommy is being told of what his father is about to do, about to level the glades. And Tommy says, I wish you were dead on the island. And I thought Oliver was going to say, yes, I agree, me too, I wish I was dead. But no, he's like, no, I'm here to fix things, what our parents did wrong. So that was definitely not a good thing. So go back to the island and we launch. They launch the rocket launcher, and the rocket is heading towards Ferris Airliner. And once again, Mr. Oliver Queen saves the day, and it comes back down on a other convenient target, as Ben describes, like how convenient it went to the camp. But you know, if you guys remember, Yao Fei is still lying there. So poor Yao Fei is now a cooked Chinese man. So wrong. I know, it was so wrong. I'm like, Yao Fei, he's definitely
not
coming back.
I actually thought that he was going to, he had something like he was going to pop up or something. The way that, you know what I mean? I just thought something was going to happen with that, but it didn't happen.
Oh, you thought something else was going to happen rather
than
coming back down to the camp?
Well, I thought he was
going to
wake up, yell thing, and fight with them. You know what I mean? I thought that he was alive, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, he's definitely extra crispy now.
He's fried.
<Yeah. laughs> That's so
messed up.
I wonder if Yao Fei might come back, like, who brought up Star Wars? Joe from Krypton.
Yeah.
I wonder if he might come back as, like, Ben Kenobi, like, in spirit.
And Yoda?
Yeah, like Yoda and, like... let's go around the room. Would you like Yao Fei to come back in spirit, or that's the end of Yao Fei? Let's go to you, Regina.
Oh, that's the end. I mean, come on.
That's the end.
There's
come
only
on.
So much sci-fi I can take, and, I mean, that's not a place for Arrow, no. Let's leave that up to Star Wars.
All right. Dan from Chicago, would you like to see Alfie come back? He's gone.
No, he's gone.
Okay. All right, Joe from Krypton, your thoughts.
No, that's it, man. His character is done. He's done. He's done what he needed to do on the show. He's done.
He's extra crispy. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, when Detective Lenz tells his superior, the chief of police, what the vigilante has given him, you know, the information that the glades are going to be leveled and all this and that, do you think the chief did the wrong thing as to, like, take his badge and his gun and take him off the force, or do you think he should have listened to Detective Lance? Regina, your thoughts on that?
I think he did okay because of the fact, I mean, if somebody would come up to you and say, hey, they're going to blow up this whole thing, you think they're crazy.
Right.
Exactly.
Or at least look into it, right? Instead of just like,
well, yeah, but,
oh,
yeah,
whatever.
No, but it was, there wasn't much time. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was happening that night. So if somebody says, hey, tonight this and this is going to happen, you're like, yeah, right.
Right.
Okay.
No, that's true. You said, yeah, right, and I said, right. let's see. Joe from Krypton.
Yeah, I definitely think he should have at least took it into consideration that, you know, I mean, he's a freaking, what is he, a lieutenant, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, come on. When another cop tells you something like that, you have to at least take it semi-seriously.
At least check it out. I mean,
exactly.
Come on. Like,
exactly.
I think he overreacted, and it was a little too dramatic there, too. The acting was like, come on. I put my whole career on this. Like, all right, relax. Everybody relax.
That right there, though, that right there should have shown that guy that he was being serious when
he was
putting his career off the line. Yeah.
Yes. Now we go back to the Queen Manor, as we like to call it, the Lex Luthor Manor. I think it's too weird that they use the same location. Out of all the places in Vancouver, they use the same house as Lex Luthor. Who still sees it at Lex Luthor's mansion? Regina?
Oh, I do. Every
okay,
time.
Joe from Krypton?
Hey, you know what? I do, but did you guys know that it was actually the mansion in the first
the
X-Men movies?
Yeah.
Really?
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. When I saw the X-Men, I'm like, wait a minute, that's Lex Luthor's mansion. I'm like, wait a minute.
Oh, I have to rewatch it. I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, you have to check it out. I think they might use it in this next one.
Oh, the new one is coming out?
Yeah.
Hmm. Wolverine 2?
Hopefully
I think
not.
Wolverine 2, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely a popular place for superheroes to hang out. Dan from Chicago, do you still see the Luthor Mansion?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Aren't you waiting for, like, Lionel or Lex to come around the corner and be like, why are you guys in my house?
Yeah, I'm just waiting to see Lionel, like, come around the corner and fix somebody's coat and brush dust off their shoulder and fix their tie while he's talking to them.
There you go.
You know,
if they were smart. What was that again?
Did you guys ever notice that in Smallville, every time Lionel had every time John Glover had a scene with somebody like Michael Rosenbaum, he would, like, you know, fix his suit and, you know, brush off his shoulders or something like that? It's like one of
those
things that's
crazy. Yeah, no, definitely. He had his little manure.
Exactly.
Now, if you guys remember, at this point of the scene where Oliver and his mom are talking, we're on shaky grounds here because we have a loose goose on the loose, and that is Mr. Merlin himself. He knows that Oliver is the vigilante. And do you think at this point where Oliver confronts his mom, like, Mom, I need to know everything. He's pretty much like, be straight with me because I spoke with Merlin and I want you to be honest with me. Do you think he almost told Myra that he was the vigilante? Let's go to Regina. Your thoughts?
No, I don't think so.
No, you don't think he would have told her?
No.
All right, Dan from Chicago?
No.
No? All right, and Joe from Krypton?
Yeah, in the beginning of the podcast, I said that's what I thought he was going to do. I thought he was going to admit to her that he was the vigilante.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been crazy if he did, because then what would he do? Like, I'm the vigilante, but I have to kill you now because you know my secret.
Well, it's not really that hard to believe, because in the comics, eventually he reveals to the world that he's Green Arrow. So
right. He's like Iron Man. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I am Green Arrow.
I am the Green Arrow. Like, oh, but who's the Red Arrow then? I'm like, what? All right. Now, I thought it was a little cheese ball-ish where Merlin calls Mara and says, hey, yo, I'm going to step up the process here just to let you know, okay, bye. Like, why would he call her? Why would he just do it? Let's go to you, Joe.
Yeah,
yo, why do you think,
kind of,
what was the reason why he called Mara?
I guess just to let the audience know that he was changing his plans, but it was weird because it was just out of the blue, and it was like
it was a 30 second
phone call, and then he just hung up.
It was
that was weird.
I thought Merlin was going to call her.
Merla, I'm doing it tonight. I'll talk to you later. Quick, and then he just hung up.
Yeah. Say goodbye to your friends. Bye bye. Okay, gotta go. Call
weird.
Wade and have another call to make.
Yeah,
like,
was
what's
weird.
Going on? Let's see, Regina, did you think it was weird that he called and gave her the heads up?
Yeah, but I was thinking, you know, he wanted Oliver to know, so that's why.
Why? So he could stop
that's,
it?
That's my theory.
It doesn't make sense. We're back like the Scooby-Doo episodes.
I don't know.
What are you kids?
Makes sense, so.
I can just imagine, you know, Merlin, if it wasn't for you, kids, I would have, you know, leveled the glades.
If it wasn't for you, meddling
it's
Green
Mr.
Arrow.
Merlin!
Yeah.
All right. So, obviously, now Oliver knows that Merlin is going to level the glades a little earlier than planned. But then Laurel walks into the mansion. You left early. He goes, oh, whoa, wait, no, I'm not, this is the scene, I think, who brought it up? Was it you, Joe, or Dan? About Laurel, you know, when someone gets close to her, she diverts to someone else.
Joe did.
Joe.
Yeah.
So this is your scene, Joe, the one that you brought up.
Uh-huh.
Elaborate more on why Laurel just doesn't work here. I mean, seriously.
How do you mean, doesn't work? In what way?
Well, it's just like her scene, for some reason, slowed everything down to a halt.
What's it doing?
I like the love triangle thing they have going on, but when we're in an episode like this where we have to wrap up the most important plot things that are going on, it kind of just gets in the way. And, you know, like
it
I
does.
Said, she jumps from guy to guy anyway. It's kind of like, okay, you know, one minute you like Tommy, the next minute you're into Oliver. So, you know, I could kind of do without it for a few episodes.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Now let's listen to the female perspective. Regina, are you into the slow but really not in the finale kind of moments?
Yeah, Oliver was talking really slow to his mom.
He was, and soft.
Oh my God,
no.
I was like, really? So dramatic sounding. I was like, really?
And then the sun coming through the window as they kiss. I'm like, really?
Yeah, another Smallville
like,
moment.
Smallville, Dawson's Creek, you name them all. Name them all. All the CW shows, they were all there in that one moment.
Yeah.
But I guess we need that, you know. We need to keep the female audiences go to the screen as well, which I'm sure you guys love action. I'm not assuming that you don't. But now we're in the scene where Tommy is talking to his dad, and he's like, it's over. Me and Oliver are over. For some reason, he says that you're going to, like, level the glades and some weird, crazy, you know, thoughts about destroying that part of the city. And then Tom Merlin goes, or as you guys like to call him, older Tom Cruise. wouldn't it be crazy if he turned around and it was Tom Cruise? I would be like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Now, do you guys feel that the explanation for Merlin, because of all what he has done, you know, throughout the season, do you think it was a good enough reason for Tommy to hear? Especially he really did he planned this out. He dipped really deep, as in playing the last recording that his mother made before she passed away. Let's go to Dan from Chicago. Your thoughts on Tommy's understanding on why his dad is doing all this.
Yeah, I actually thought it was sad when he played the mom, you know, dying. What dad does that? I would have been pissed. You know, I was like, I don't want to hear my mom dying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who wants to hear that?
I was kind of sad with that, actually. I thought Tommy was going to get, you know, kill his dad there or then fight or something. You know, it was definitely...
Ooh, that would have been kind of cool.
Definitely
yeah,
a
Tommy
powerful
really
scene.
Pissed.
It was definitely a powerful scene.
I agree. Let's go to you, Joe from Krypton.
Merlin's
reveal.
Dan pretty much summed it up. But, I thought it was pretty shitty that he showed him the recording like that. You know? It was pretty awful.
Yeah, really bad. Really bad. I mean, to hear her, like, gasping for air, and then even Merlin, like, tries to add to it where... He was like, she was lying by herself and no one helped her out. It's like, dude, seriously? I'm already hearing my own mom die and you're telling me more on this?
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty dark. Let's go to Regina. Regina, your thoughts on Merlin's revelation on why he's doing all this?
Well, he tells his son, you know, his mom was bleeding out on the pavement. I mean, come on. How low can you get? That's pretty bad to tell your son that. I felt sorry for Tommy. That was something he need to hear.
Poor guy, I know.
So
he lost his best friend, he's lost his girlfriend, and now his dad's this psychopath killer. Like, poor Tommy. Maybe it is better that he died, you know. That character has gone through a lot. I shouldn't say that. Never say never. Now we go back to the Arrow Cave as the Scoobies are planning out where the earthquake machine. Well, what are we going to call it? A seismic machine? An earthquake maker?
Leveler.
The leveler. All right.
Yeah.
Say that three times.
Leveler.
Oh, nice. But as they are looking at schematics of the subway, underneath the subway station as it matches the symbol on the book, they get interrupted by Thea Queen, and she tells Oliver, Mom's about to talk to a TV station, and he goes, which ones? And she's like, all of them. So, of course, they turn on the monitor, and my queen reveals that she has failed the city. And I thought
that was awesome.
For all the wrong that she did, this was a good right that she did, her character did. Let's go to you, Dan from Chicago. Your thoughts on my queen's actions of revealing what she was involved with.
I liked it when she said, you know, I failed the city. That was pretty good. That was pretty cool. It made me start to... it's like she's a character you want to like, I hate to bring it up, but like Lionel Luther. You want to like her, but she's... You know what I mean?
She's evil.
50-50 on her. I want to like her, but it's hard to, but I like what she did.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Let's go to Regina. Regina, your thoughts on Myra Queen's outcoming, I guess.
I was actually pretty surprised that she did that. Because I knew she
I was
surprised
too.
You know, she knew she's going to go to jail.
Yeah.
So I was actually really surprised that she did this.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she just wanted a clean slate. She was just tired. And also, if you remember her speech, she was doing it also to save her family's health, well, you know, well-being, you know, not being always the target or a threat to her family. And how awesome was Merlin's reaction to that when he just slams the table and
feels
like a bam slam on the table and breaking it, and Tommy's like looking like, what's going on, Dad? You're gonna kill more people now? And of course they go back and forth on how this is so wrong. And then it's kind of cool how they go to each character, starting with Oliver and Felicity and Diggle, and then they go cut to Laurel watching, and they cut to Detective Lance watching. So it's kind of like everybody's now involved on, like, what's been going on, what's going to happen,
that the device, the leveler, is going to go off and they need to evacuate the Glades. Now, Thea, out of all the things that's going on right now, she's more worried about Roy Harper than her mom. What? I was like, really? You're going to worry about this kid you just met? I know he's your boyfriend, but that's your mom. Just gave up the goods, just about to save, you know, probably half the population on the Glades. Do you think Thea overreacted? Let's go to you, Joe, from Krypton.
Yeah, she did overreact, and I thought it was a little weird that she, when her mom told her, it's because I love you, and she's like, well, I love Roy. I'm like, okay, that's the moment to tell your mom that when she's about to go to jail.
Exactly. She's like handcuffed and in front of the news cameras.
Yeah, it's like, weird.
Just imagine, like, if TMZ was there and they were following Thea. So what'd you tell your mom? You know, like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
She picked the boy instead of the mom. Let's go to you, Regina. Your thoughts on Thea. Did she overreact, or did she do good on her end?
I think she overreacted a bit. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and why?
Semi-teenager, and she's in love, and he was in danger.
How old is she? I forgot. Is she 21?
I don't know. Yeah, because she's driving. So
yeah, didn't she have a birthday?
Yeah, 18, wasn't it, or something? I don't know.
Or 18. Maybe it was 18, yeah. Joe, do you know?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did what? Is she 18 or 21?
Yeah, she's 18. She had a birthday.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought, 18, yeah.
Yeah.
So, of course, now we still go back to the Merlin Manor. Not the Merlin Manor, but the Merlin Tower, and he reveals the Dark Archer uniform. And Tommy, for some reason, he reacts kind of like scared, like, no, what, huh, what? Instead of like, Dad, you get dressed in that? But he was really pulled off, or like, whoa. And then, of course, the SWAT team comes in, and Merlin just whips ass with the sword. Seriously, this guy does not need a gun. Now, do you think it was right that Merlin killed these cops? I know they were after him, you know, with guns pointed at him. But seriously, did he really need to do that? Let's go to Dan from Chicago.
I think he passed out.
Oh, we have a sleeper.
Yeah.
We haven't had one of these in a while.
Wow.
Dan, is that you?
Sorry, I'm here.
He pretended.
I'm here. I'm really tired.
We thought we lost you.
No, I'm good.
We thought the Dark Archer got you. Alright, so
really
of course, No, stay on the line, dude. Don't hang up. If you fall asleep, we'll take care of you. We'll take care of you. So now
I'm
we
fine,
go back to the Arrow Cave. We go back to the Arrow Cave. And I love it. We have a caller sleeping on our podcast.
I'm sorry.
Felicity tells Arrow, or Oliver, you have another bow? He goes, yes, I do. I was like, of course. Why wouldn't Green Arrow have another bow?
Hey, you know what?
It's funny. Mm-hmm.
Whenever they asked him that if he had another bow, I kind of wanted him to turn it into a joke to kind of lighten the mood and say, why the hell wouldn't I have another bow? I'm Green Arrow, or something like that, you know?
Right. Yeah, what am I going to be now? Green Hammer? You know? It's like,
right. Well,
look around.
Oh, I'm going to fight with a Green Hammer now.
Yeah,
yeah,
like Thor.
Oh, jeez.
All right. So then, of course, the Scooby clan, I'm talking about Diggle and Felicity, they say they're not going anywhere, that they're going to go down with that fight, and if the leveler goes off, they go off too. So they all make a pack on working together, and of course they need Felicity to help out with the detonation of the leveler. And who do they recruit? Anyone?
Hey, I couldn't hear you. You were cutting out.
I said, who did they recruit? Detective Lance, yes.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Detective Lance. Now, Detective Lance, his look, did you guys, like, just notice, you know, I know he's supposed to be scruffy looking, and I mean, each episode, he just looks more of a mess. It's like his
hair
is all spiked up. Yeah, and he looks like he lost a lot of weight for some reason. I don't know why. I have to look at the first season. But it's just like he's dying or something. But, of course, he's back on the force because he was right, and I'm sure the lieutenant gave his badge and his gun back, because when Oliver calls him, he's at the police station, and he's like, I know exactly where it's at. It's where Merlin's wife died. Dun, oh, where's Matt? Matt left us. Dun, dun, dun. Now, that, I think that's a prime location. I really didn't even see that coming, but did anybody here see that coming? Regina, did you see that coming where you knew exactly where the bomb was going to be, a specific location?
No, I didn't. I didn't even think about that. Nope.
Because I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, I wonder where he would put it. You know, at first I thought maybe the club, since he knew Oliver was there. Mm-hmm. Or the, what was it, the police station. I mean,
that's what I thought, the police station.
You noticed that they haven't gone back to the burger joint? What happened to the burger joint?
Yeah.
It all just disappeared.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Dan, what are your thoughts on that?
Dude, I'm, like, out of it. I'm going to tap out.
All right. Tap out, sir.
Bye.
We got you covered. Thank
you,
Dan, for calling. All right.
I'll probably call him tomorrow. I'll be more awake.
All right. That'd be great.
All right. Later.
All right. So that's Dan from Chicago giving us a sign-off. We were talking about the diner, and I thought it was kind of weird how we just haven't seen the diner lately. Remind me, because I'm not an arrow expert, and I'm not claiming to be one, but remind me, what happened with Diggle's love sister-in-law
deal? I guess they kind of put it on hold, right? On the side burner for now, yeah.
That never got resolved. I mean, they did kiss.
Yeah.
I do remember that. Regina?
You know
Regina, we lost Regina, too. It's just you and me, Joe. You're my co-pilot now.
It's crazy.
You're my wingman.
Cool. Yeah, I can handle it. It's cool.
All right, cool.
You know what's weird is whenever they first, when they first started this season, they didn't know if they were going to get picked up past six episodes. So they started a lot of, little plots here and there. So now, you know, after they got picked up, you know, for a full season, they kind of had too many things going on. Yeah, you know, they were juggling too many balls at once, so now they have to kind of put things on the sidelines for a little bit and come back to it later.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's why they put it that thing with Diggle and that girl on hold for a little while.
Yeah, and then, of course, there was a lot more in the later half of the season. It was just a lot more happening rather than, like, trying to establish characters in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. That's good. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Someone's calling in. Let's see who it is. 951.
It's me. For some reason, all of a sudden, I got a busy signal. I got dropped.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought you fell asleep. We're like, Regina. And it said,
drop the call.
No.
On my screen, it said, drop the call. I'm like, no.
No, on your screen, it said, Regina tapped out.
Yeah, tapped out. Dan's a big wrestler fan, so that's why
he's
tapping out. All right, so then we cut back to Roy Harper. He's realizing what's going on with the Glades. A lot of people, you know, just mass chaos, rioting, just craziness, and we see Detective Lance coming out of his car and going down into the subway. Now, at this point, Oliver and Diggle go back to Merlin's office, and that's where they find me. And like I said, wouldn't Diggle just more armored conscience of, like, okay, we're dealing with this really badass character. Let me put on the vest or something. But, of course not. He's just in plain civilian clothes, and he gets stabbed once they go into the Dark Archer's chamber. Which, again, I thought it was really creepy. If you go back and watch that scene where he's just standing there. What's going on? Hi, welcome. And then they cut to the island, and it's the scene where we did talk about earlier today as well, is when Oliver was looking for Shadow, and of course Slade was like, I don't know. And then do you guys remember the villain's name on the island?
I don't.
No.
Come on, Regina. I know
no,
you have it.
No, I don't.
No, that should have been the $1 million.
Nope, sorry.
Didn't it start with an S? No?
I can't remember for the life of me what his name was. He really isn't that... The island flashbacks are really cool, but I don't really remember... I could never remember his name for some reason. He's just forgettable to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, he wasn't... They definitely didn't repeat it enough for the audience to keep track of, and he wasn't on that much as well.
Yeah.
If anybody said I forget who might have mentioned that China White would be Shadow, but for some reason that's not the case.
That was who was that? That was
I forgot
like
who that was.
Ago, right.
Right, that was two podcasts ago that Shadow would become China White, and unfortunately, it's played by two different actresses.
Yeah,
so
I don't think
that's
going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
I didn't see
them as the same.
I think that was either Matt or Lauren that said that.
I think it might have been Matt. Yeah, it might have been
Matt.
Yeah,
it was a guy who said it, so it must have been Matt.
Yeah, it might have been Matt, and I know it's like wishful thinking, like, you know, to tie up stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm trying to get this guy's name. No, that's not him. I don't think he's even on. I'm looking on IMDb. Yeah, and he's not on here for some reason. Huh. Well, anyways, he wasn't that relevant. But it's the part where he dies, and Oliver, of course, finally gains the strength and courage to use the bow and arrow to wipe him out, and he boom, bullseye right in the eye.
You know, I forgot about that part, but that was one of my favorite parts in the episode where he's like, Are you gonna choose this lady's life or your what did he say? Or
to get off the island.
Yeah.
Or to get off the island, yeah.
Yeah, and he shoots him. I love that part. Awesome.
And then I could see where maybe Rena was saying that the music was a little over the top because once he shot him, it was like dun 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 dun. And you know, I know it was a little dramatic, Regina, but I think it worked in that part because it was like, wow, he used the bow and arrow for the first time to kill somebody, of course.
He finally has that look in his eye that he has back in Starling
right.
when he has the bow.
Right, it wasn't like a dopey, like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. He's coming into his own now. Awesome.
Yes. So that was definitely the turning point. What do you think Slade was thinking? Like, oh, shit. Because he kind of had, like, this big grin on his face.
You know, I was thinking he was gonna say, wow, maybe you do have it in you, or something to that effect. You know, I thought he was going to say something like that, but he didn't.
Yes. So far we have that villain on the island dead, and Yafei is now probably crust from the explosion.
He's sweet and sour chicken now.
It's, oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
And let's see. So we go back to Merlin in the fight, and, of course, finally Detective Lance finds the device. He kind of asks before he sees it, he asks Felicity, what does it look like? And right when he says that, they reveal the big device. Now, it's kind of, you know, I hate to compare it to Batman and Green Arrow, but didn't that look kind of like Bomb in Dark Knight Rises? No, just kidding.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't. It didn't, but it was kind of like the similar, like, destroy the city. Like,
yeah.
Wait a minute. All we need is Arrow with his arrow, bat arrow plane.
They're actually borrowing a lot from Dark Knight Rises and Batman Begins.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, when Roy Harper confronts some people holding a guy in an alley, how cool were his moves? Seriously, it's funny how, and I like how the stunt people are doing this. Roy Harper has his own techniques of fighting. When you see Roy Harper, I don't see arrow fighting. You know what I mean? It's not like the same choreograph, same movement, same
style.
Kicks. It is. It's more of a street parkour type of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like low to the ground always. He's always like low to the ground and kicking and jumping.
Yeah, like a little monkey. He's like
rolling
around and then kicks. Yeah. And it's funny how it would be really cool to see, and I'm sure we will in the future, is to see Green Arrow and wherever Roy Harper becomes Speedy or what's the other color?
Red Arrow.
Yes. To see them fight, you know, side by side, how Arrow has his technique and then Roy has his street technique, and you see the dynamic in the two contrasts fighting. That'd be kind of fun.
It'd be like watching
so yes,
Batman
of course.
And Robin fight.
yeah. I think that's what we're getting to. Does that mean Diggle is now Alfred?
No.
No, Diggle is more like, who would he be? He'd be like Nightwing now.
Oh, like Fox.
Yeah, Lucius, something like that.
Lucius Fox, yes. The Morgan Freeman character in the Batman movies. Did you guys see that little Easter egg when Thea threw that bottle on the guy that had the gun? And he goes, whoa, that was a good shot. And then what did she say? Do you guys remember?
I guess that was pretty good aim or something.
Yeah. I was like, yes, go Speedy. But you never know. She might pick up that bow someday.
Yep. Could happen.
It's kind of great to see the trio. It's almost like Batgirl, Robin, and Batman. Wait a minute.
Exactly.
What's going on here?
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So now we're up to the very big confrontation of Arrow and the Dark Archer on the rooftop fighting. The beginning of the fight. Seriously. Yes. Thank you, Joe. If you rewatch that scene, the way they just start off is, okay, we're going to just shoot arrows at each other. I'm like, whoa, who does that? And they're running at the same time, shooting arrows at each other. That is
it
so cool.
So cool, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Of course, the fight is really dramatic, and the stunt work is amazing, as always. Regina, if you could tell the stuntman right now, what would you tell them in regards to that fight scene?
I love the beginning of the fight, but the middle of it, I expected a little more. I've seen better fights between the two of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a little dark for me, too. I know they're on the rooftop, but...
Yeah, I mean, I expected more... I don't know. I just expected more.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to you, Joe, from Krypton. Your thoughts on the big fight against Dark Archer.
I love the way I don't know if it's the stuntmen that are doing it or that are making it look like this or the cameramen, but the way it looks like they're just fighting so hard. I mean, the hits actually look like they hurt. It looks intense. I love it.
And then, of course, Arrow shoots for the head, and Sir Merlin once again catches the arrow. And my first instinct, seriously, when I saw that, I said, wait a minute, we've seen that already. What a cop-out. He's doing that again, catching the arrow right in front of his face. But Oliver remembered, and he had a little device that exploded right in front of his face. So I thought that was cool on Oliver's part. He never does the wrong thing twice. He always remembers from his mistakes. And I remember that from Batman. So that's awesome that they have this parallel, you know, way of thinking. Now, of course, how cliche is it where the detective / policeman, Detective Lance, is cut the red wire. No, cut the blue wire. I kind of chuckled a little. I'm like, all right, we see this shit like in Lethal Weapon movies and, you know, any cop show. It's like, which wire? Oh, my gosh. And then, of course, the timer goes quicker. Now it's counting down to 2 minutes. I got to be honest. Felicity, they had a close-up on her. And I'm being picky here. they showed a little too much acne on her for some reason. I don't know, maybe it's my TV that has high def, but you really saw the acne on her, and I'm like, ouch, maybe they should have pulled back a little. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm even talking about that. It has nothing to do with the show, but I don't know. It was just a little too close for her. But, yeah, but she's young. Of course she's going to have a little blemishes here and there.
She's still hot.
So I was like, that ruins my fantasy. No, just kidding.
Don't do it.
So, no. No, she's still beautiful. And, of course, Laurel is at her office cleaning out her desk and her department as they are trying to clear out from the Glades. And how sad was that phone call with Detective Lance calling his daughter to say goodbye? I mean, seriously, it kind of reminded me of Armageddon when Bruce Willis told Liv Tyler that he's not coming back. And she's like, Daddy. But I don't know if you guys are young enough to assume Armageddon. Okay. But it was really a sweet scene.
Old
I mean,
enough.
I like it between the dad and his sister. Let's go, Eve. Joe from Krypton. Your thoughts on that scene between father and daughter?
Oh, like I said a few podcasts ago, DC really knows how to bring it when they want to freaking pull tears out of you. You know, when they're pulling on the heartstrings,
right.
They know how to do that. I love that about DC. Absolutely love it. I swear, at least, probably more than this, but at least three times I was reduced to tears. I wanted to cry.
Really?
Yes, dude. Absolutely, the scene with Tommy and Oliver at the end.
Yeah.
That scene right there with Laurel and her dad, and there was a couple more I can't think off the top of my head. But yeah, man, I was in tears. I was like, wow, I love DC. Yeah, very cool stuff.
That's cool. I know. So, what about you, Regina? The father-daughter scene.
Yeah.
Well, Regina's crying already.
No.
You made Regina cry. Joe.
It was moving, but, you know.
She's like grabbing tissues
for me,
right
it was
now.
More like the scene between Oliver and Tommy. You know, that would have been for me more the tearjerker. All
right. So, but what were your thoughts on this scene between the two?
I was like, he's not going to die because. You know, I just, because I know he wasn't going to die. I'm like, they're not going to make him die. They're not going to make the whole city die. Boy, was I wrong. There was the second bomb.
Right. They were, boy, were you wrong.
I know.
That's for sure. Yes, but it was very touching. Like Joe said, DC knows how to bring it when they want the human element in their characters.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool, pretty dramatic. And, of course, we go back to Mr. Roy Harper and Thea Queen racing through the city, trying to find out where is this device. We need to help the city. And, of course, when they get detoured by this vehicle that's trapped, that's stopped in the street, there's a bus full of people trying to get out. And Roy, of course, says, I need to help them. And Thea's like, no, we need to go. Forget these people. Let's get out of here.
I couldn't believe
and
that.
And Roy's like, no,
selfish.
I need to help. How heroic was that? Seriously.
Yeah.
That was,
she was
that
selfish.
Was a Superman moment.
Yes. And
that
I love how he wears that red hoodie.
That was his defining moment that showed that he has it within him to be a hero. He's worthy of the
he's
red
selfless.
Arrow, man.
Yes,
yeah,
he's selfless,
exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they showed that scene of him with the, what was that villain name, the one that almost killed him? Do you guys remember
the guy. The one
yeah,
guy from,
down in the subway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that guy. Yeah. I'm sure people are yelling at us right now. It's his name, his. but... Yes, that guy. I'm glad Roy went through that because he feels he has a second chance to make things right now. And so it's definitely paying off. And we go back to the rooftop, and Mr. Merlin and Oliver are struggling on the rooftop. and Merlin gets Oliver in a chokehold, and Deagle comes out struggling, still bleeding to death, I'm sure. And Arrow sees an arrow on the floor and grabs it and just dabs it right through Merlin. And Oliver, I guess he tells him that he's failed his plan to level the glades. And Merlin, being Mr. Smartass himself, says, you know, to be a good businessman, you always...
Oh, he said something about having a second something. I didn't really catch what he said.
Yep. You always double up on something, you know, double up on your plan if you're a businessman, yes.
Yep.
And that's when Oliver realizes, everybody get up. It's going down.
Yeah.
Bomb is going down. Now, do you guys feel that Merlin died after you, Regina? Do you think that's the last we'll see of Merlin?
I don't think so. I have the feeling he's not dead.
Ooh, interesting.
Because I
think
only
might...
one person was supposed to die, and I think it was Tommy.
Ah.
So I don't
think
Merlin is dead.
Do you guys think maybe they might keep him in a Merlin facility somewhere off-site and keep him in a test tube and clone him and... Just like what
loser type of
thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I doubt it. Let's go to you, Joe. Your thoughts? Is Merlin gone for good?
No, I have a feeling they're gonna bring him back somewhere in the second season, like a surprise. Yeah.
As Matt from Florida would say, dun dun dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, someone tweeted that, and I'm like, no way, you hear the podcast? And they're like, yeah, of course I do. I'm like, awesome.
Oh, that's so cool, dude. That's really cool.
That was cool. I was like, just random, they typed in, dun, dun, dun.
Wow.
Okay, so the face of Oliver when he realizes, holy crap, there's another device out there, another leveler. He was just like, no way. It kind of gave that look and vibe like, no way, there's another one. And they really saved their money for special effects in this scene as we see the city slowly crumbling. And Felicity, I don't know, for some reason, for her to just sit there in front of all these high-tech computers that are sparkling and going off, she just sits there. Do you think it was kind of weird?
It was earthquake.
Well, yeah, I know a lot of people are shocked by the first earthquake. But she knew what was going to happen. Let's go to you, Joe, from Krypton. Do you think it was staged awkwardly that she was just sitting there taking it all?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of that scene in The Dark Knight where Lucius Fox is just standing there watching those little screens that Batman was using. The sonar. Remember how it's all exploding? And
The Dark Knight,
there?
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they just go off sparking and all that.
I think it's just for dramatic effect to make it look cool.
It
like,
was.
Me,
no,
cool.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. It was just more of a, like, oh no, she's trapped by all those monitors.
Yeah.
Because seriously, just get up and leave. You know, that's all the thing. Now, aside from the show, we cut to a commercial of Miss Willa Holland telling the viewers not to text while they drive. And she's going to pledge herself that she will not do that. Now, wouldn't it be interesting, like tomorrow we see on TMZ that they find her texting while she's driving? I'm just saying. So,
I kind of laughed because she tells him not to do that, but she takes vertical driving.
Exactly, right? I'm like, oh, but we could take vertical, right? Right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's make the pledge now. I pledge I will not text when I drive. Let's go to you, Regina. Do you pledge or not?
Oh, yes. I don't have a cell phone, believe it or not, so I can't.
You
do
don't
it.
Have a cell phone?
No, I don't.
Well, you're even more safer than us. What about you, Joe? Do you have a cell?
Oh,
do you
man.
Have a car?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I can fly, but I prefer to drive right now. But,
do you take the Willa Holland pledge?
Yeah, I always told my younger brother not to, because he's famous for that texting and driving, and I'm always stressing him how dangerous it is. I'm totally against it. I pledge not to text and drive ever.
All right, we got three pledges here. So hopefully, if you're listening, just say it out loud. I pledge I will not text and drive. All right, there you go. All right, so now back to the show. So the Glades are still rumbling, and I love how Felicity still has service for some reason. I guess the cellular towers are not being affected by the rumble, but she's able to still make a call to Oliver. That do you guys remember what she says when she calls him?
Don't.
Regina?
I don't.
No.
No? Huh. Let's see. I think I have it on my TV screen. Hold on.
Yeah.
The damage seems to be contained on this side. All right. Well, that's all she says, and then she gets cut off. So I guess they tried to, like, scare us off, like, no, she can't die. But it was really more Laurel that was underneath the rubble, like, pretty much almost crushed to death. Do you think they could have done a lot more with Felicity, like being stuck under a desk or wedged between two monitors or two servers? Let's go you, Joe.
Yeah,
they were
I
looking for the emotional, like, help, but it was really like she was sitting in her chair talking on her Bluetooth.
Yeah, they could have done a little bit more with that, with her.
Just a little bit more, what about you, Regina?
Oh, yeah, a little bit more distress call for her, because, I mean, she's like, Oliver, are you all right? And he's like, Felicity, are you okay? That was it.
Yeah. And then,
you know, it was like, really? So.
Yes, and then, of course, Tommy comes in to save the day, lifts up that cement block or piece of cement that was on Laurel. She frees herself and runs out, and as she runs out, the building just collapses on Tommy, just falls down. And we're like, whoa, no way, Tommy, he, like, redeemed himself, but then he died, or we don't know. Oliver runs in to see who's under the rubble. And seriously, out of the whole entire complex that fell under, you know, that just collapsed, how did Oliver know exactly where to go when he saw Tommy? It's like he got off the bike and then ran to where Tommy was. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of convenient. But Tommy did have a fatal wound. I mean, that spike, that rhubarb, was like straight out from his chest. And I don't think he's going to survive it. I think we might have to say goodbye to Tommy. Let's go around the room. Do you think Tommy will survive this fatal wound? Let's go to you, Joe, from Krypton.
You know what? Now that I think about it again, earlier I said no, but that's kind of sad. I like him on the show. But, yeah, he's probably done. He's probably done.
Yeah, he grew on us. Unfortunately, he grew on me later on.
Because
at first I'm like, what is his role in this?
Yeah.
Is he like Luther? You know, first they're friends, and then, of course, they're going to be enemies later on. But the writers definitely switched it on us here. Let's go to you, Regina. Do you think Tommy is now officially dead?
Well, I think he is, but I would so hope not. Maybe for some miracle, he missed all the vital organs, you know, the rhubarb.
Oh, okay. All right. Did
to
a little,
before, I mean. You
did
know,
a little
maybe.
JFK magic bullet kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of. But I know he's gone, so. But it's just wishful thinking.
Yes, and then Oliver's performance, Tommy, don't go. It was really the most emotional scene for Oliver, and good job for Stephen, you know, Stephen DeMille, who plays Oliver. Really a great way to say goodbye to your friend. And from there, we pull up on a crane. We see Detective Lance holding Laurel in the streets, and the crane goes up higher and higher and reveals the Glades in shambles and a big old crater now. So that's the end of the season finale. I mean, wow. What a great way to finish it, and definitely a great way to hold us out for the summer. We cannot wait. I mean, seriously, it's gonna be awesome. Now, it looks like they're gonna have new sets now that the Glades are collapsed. They're gonna have really nice fresh paint of coating on their walls and new different locations to use. So it's gonna be kind of a fresh start for the show, and also, you know, the Glades. So, now that this has happened, now that Merlin has leveled the Glades, who do you think still is out there that could be a threat to Oliver? Let's go to you, Joe, from Krypton.
Do you mean, like, someone that's been on the show or someone they haven't used yet?
Well, either or. Like...
Oh, man.
We know that the group called? The Triads?
Yeah, the Triads. Uh-huh.
They were out there as well, so that's still unresolved. And then, of course, China White.
Yeah.
She's
China
still
White.
Out there. She's not dead.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned earlier, Joe, Slade, we think he might still be out there as Mr. Who?
Deathstroke.
Mr. Who? Deathstroke, yes.
Deathstroke, yeah.
And
I'm still waiting for that one.
Deadshot is still out there as well. So I'm sure we will have a good slew of villains for next season.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yes, yes. Now, what are you going to miss now that Tommy is gone, Regina? Let's go to you. What Tommy aspects of his character are you going to miss the most for next season?
I generally just like Tommy. I mean, I don't know why. He just was a nice guy. I mean, I'm going to miss him.
Regina's like, good riddance.
I'm like, I didn't want him to die. I honestly thought it would have been Thea.
Ah,
I thought Thea
really?
Was going to die. Yeah, because that would have brought Oliver and Roy together and them becoming a team, avenging her death or something.
Mm-hmm.
That was my theory. So, but that didn't happen. So.
Interesting. I didn't think about that one. What about you, Joe from Krypton? What are you going to miss from Tommy now that we think he's gone?
I'm going to miss
what are you going to miss the most?
The brotherhood that he had with Oliver. It was kind of like the brotherhood that Lex and Clark had in the beginning of Smallville.
Yes.
That's when I loved Lex from, even though
yes.
he turned evil after, you know, season 5, you know, he started changing. I still saw that brother in him that he could have had with Clark, you know, and the same thing with Tommy
yes.
and Oliver. Yeah, it's sad.
I agree.
You know, that scene when they share together, Oliver and Tommy, after he closes his eyes and Oliver, you know, yells, crying, you know, open your eyes, Tommy. Oh, my gosh. That
yeah.
really had me in tears.
That was really great. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, let's go back to Mark Queen. Do you think just because she's in jail, that's it? Then we won't see her next season? Because it's an easy scapegoat to say, oh, that character's in jail, so we're not going to see her for the next season. Do you think we might see a glimpse of Myra, or do you think that's pretty much the end for that character? Let's go to you, Joe.
I think somehow Laurel is going to be her representation to get her out of jail, to keep her out of prison.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't see that coming. What about you, Regina?
I think she probably shows up again, like maybe the mid-season, because I don't think Oliver's done with her yet. I don't
Ooh.
Think he's going
to
forgive her
like
that
he still
easy.
Has to deal with her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
not,
great.
I don't think he's going to forgive her that easy for what she's done.
Right.
Well.
Yeah, she did do a lot.
I have something to say about
and
that.
Now. Oh, go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
You know, whenever Felicity tells Oliver, I'm sorry, you know, after his mom goes on television and reveals to the public that she was in cahoots with, you know, all the stuff going on, he was like, you know, don't be. She did what she had to do to her to redeem herself, and she did. And, he, you know, I don't think he's done with her, but in a way, you know, she redeemed herself. And
yes,
Oliver,
I think
you
so.
Know, he's aware of it, so he knows that there's still hope within her.
Now, let's just go a little afterthought here. What do you think Walter thought when he saw Myra on TV confessing everything that she's done? What do you think Walter might have thought or said to the television screen? Let's go to you, Regina.
A little too late?
Yeah. What about you, Joe? What would Walter say watching that press conference?
What I want to say isn't appropriate, and I don't ever say
okay,
that.
Okay, I think I know. I think I'm on your side. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too happy. Like, you little Smurfs.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's
all right.
One thing I would never say to a woman, though. I just want to let them
right.
know. Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. All right. Well, I know it's so late. Joe, if you see you're calling from Texas?
Yeah. Well, this is where my spaceship landed. Yeah.
Right, yeah, the spaceship landed. Yeah, Texas. Okay. So you're Mountain Standard Time or Central?
It's Central.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's a little late for you. And Regina, you're on my side of the planet. On the
yep.
Daily Planet over here. Yes, so you are listening to the AeroTalk podcast. This is Sacrifice Finale. We're about to wrap it up as we went through the entire episode. Now, tomorrow we will be digging in more as, like, you could think, whoa, these people have more to talk about the finale. But, yes, we still have some more questions and also some little trivia. Let's see how sharp you guys are on your arrow trivia. So we're going to have a little trivia game. It's going to be a little fun. And then also, if you're listening, please join us tomorrow. The phone number is still the same, 914-338-1036, and that's at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to do what Regina does on our Smallville Talk podcast. Give us your favorite five episodes. I'm borrowing it from you, Regina.
Oh,
give us
cool.
your favorite five episodes of season one of Arrow. So please call us tomorrow night as we will discuss the entire season, not just the finale, but the entire season of Arrow. So it'll be a nice little recap as we go off into the summer. We will have some podcasts throughout the summer, but not as consistent because the show's off and it's going to be a little hard to just talk about old reruns. But we will be on a few occasionally times, you know, especially if there's a lot more holidays during the summer. So,
hey, does that mean that Smallville Talk will be in 30 minutes longer? If there's no
oh, yeah, it's going to be a little bit longer now with
yes.
Man of Steel. So if you're a fan of Man of Steel and you're listening to the Arrow Talk podcast, join us on the Smallville Talk podcast. It's going to be pretty crazy there. We're going to do like a 10-day countdown to the the opening of Smallville, of Man of Steel. As if they would have called it Smallville. I don't know. Because it all pretty much takes place in Smallville, so okay, whatever.
Oh, no.
But yes, we will be back tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Let's go to Regina. Regina, give us your shout out as we wrap up this family podcast.
I wish it wasn't the last episode. I hate season finales because I don't want the show to end.
I know.
So.
I know.
And
me too.
Yeah, and I cannot join you guys tomorrow because I have to work tomorrow night. So.
Oh, well, you can call us on your break.
Yeah, I know. If I can, I will, but I can't promise.
No, you did. You did a really great job on this one, so thank you so much for calling in. And, Joe, let's go to you, sir. What's your shout-out? How can people reach you?
Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at RedBlueSuperDude. The blue is spelled without the E. And it was a great finale for Arrow. Really loved it.
Yes, I agree with Joe, and thank you for Matt from Florida, and also Dan from Chicago, Regina and Joe from Krypton. Thank you guys for calling in. This was a really fun conversation, and we'll continue with that tomorrow night. Have a good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, bye.